97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Hey, another announcement in our top 60 and 60 coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. Excited for this one. This is an important one. Because this player may have the biggest impact on his team more than any individual player in the state of Utah.
The biggest impact or the heaviest load to carry?
Same. In terms of his team being successful, because there are other guys that play that same position but have a little bit more depth behind him.
Ooh. I've got two guys in mind. But I'll wait because okay. I don't want to guess that. But that's a pretty good teaser.
Yeah. Well, it's time for a British Open update, brought to you by, of course, UNA Golf, this Open Championship. It's all courtesy of Mountainland Supply, Zions Bank, Hoops Vision, Siegfried & Jensen, and Black Desert Resort. The man, the myth, the legend, Brian Taylor joins us. BT, how are you?
Hey, BT.
What's up, boy?
Not much. How you doing? You good?
I'm doing great. It's British Open Week, or is it the Open Championship Week? I'm not sure.
Oh, you just went PK. That's impressive. That was going to be my main question. You know, with you golf elitists out there, is it the Open or is it the British Open?
So I was reading a tweet from, I think it was one of the Golf Channel guys this week, and he claims that when Bobby Jones was handed the claret jug back in the 30s, the head of the RNA said, "You winner of the British Open, Bobby Jones." So Dustin Johnson this week, he came out and he said, "When I was a kid, I called it the British Open, but now I call it the Open Championship." And when asked why the change, he said, "Because that's what it's called now." Classic Dustin Johnson. I think it's one of those things where, you know, it was the British Open. It was always the British Open, and that's all it needed to be at one time. And, you know, now it's this world open. It's the open for everyone. It just, I guess, has a little bigger ring to it. And that's kind of how they branded it. But it is really the world, truly the world's open. And it's wide open field, too.
That's an interesting take. I had a different idea on that. I was thinking, like, if you're in Mexico and you're going to get some food, you don't say, "Let's go get some Mexican food." You just say, "Hey, let's go eat. Let's go get some food." Mm. And so I would think when you're over, you know, across the pond, you just call it the Open. But when you're in our country, it's the British Open.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, over there, they call it the U.S. Masters, you know, which is, I mean, to me, that's sacrilegious. Let's be honest. I mean,
they call it that over there.
Yeah, they'll say John Rahm won, or Hideki Matsuyama won the U.S. Masters, because they have a Masters over, they have a British Masters, and there's a few different other Masters around the world. But to me, I mean, let's be honest, there really is only one Masters, and they may have that same attitude about the Open. They may be like, "Well, you got to clarify, it's the U.S. Open, it's not the Open," which is what we hold over here on a 10-course rotation around the British Isles. So. I mean, it certainly is the oldest championship. There's no doubt about that. It has more history than any other. And yet, I think to a man, I mean, we've talked about this on the show, given the opportunity to win one of the four, I think most people would want to slip on a green jacket.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any doubt. Is this when you're, if you're ranking your own personal majors, is this fourth or is it, maybe it depends on where the course is that year? I mean, where are you at on this thing?
Yeah, that's an interesting caveat because, I think it does have something to do with where the course is being played. I mean, if it's at St. Andrews, I mean, the names that have won the Open at St. Andrews. I think the Masters for me is number one, and then just the patriotism in me. I mean, you have to want to win your own national Open, so I would go U.S. Open 2. And then I've always been British Open 3. I mean, the claret jug is just one of those iconic, you know, trophies in sports, and it also – you know, is the oldest championship. And so to go over there and play a different kind of golf, to be able to be good enough to go over and play in sweaters and high winds and knocking shots along the ground. And, you know, it's kind of a cool game. I've had a chance to go over there one time. It's really fun golf. I personally embraced it and enjoyed it. And I think it's fun. It's cool that the whole, you know, fact that that's where golf was born is appealing to me. So I guess I would go there. The PGA Championship, obviously the Wanamaker Trophy is massive and it's got a lot of history, but it, you know, and I would love to be, shoot, I would love to win a, you know, a Saturday match with my buddies, which I can't do, but the PGA would rank fourth to me, the Wanamaker on that list.
So one of our listeners just tweeted, he said, I've got Colin Morikawa for the putter giveaway. And, you know, every year, or sorry, every major we do this different giveaway. Sometimes it's the driver or the putter, and it's just a great, really fun promotion. And Scotty and I were going back and forth yesterday saying, all right, well, what would you rather have? One of the top 25 or somebody in the field? So if you had to take BT, if you had to take a potential winner, would you take the field or somebody out of the top 25?
Are you going world rankings on that top 25?
Yeah.
Yes, world rankings.
Man, that's you know, if there's ever one to win that you would take outside the top 25, it's probably the Open. And if you want to even extend that further, it's probably the Open at Royal St. George's. This thing is played on, I mean, if you took your football cleats and you turned them upside down and you looked at it and you said, that's what our fairway is going to look like, that's pretty much what they did at Royal St. George's.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
It's you hit it, two guys could hit it right down the middle of the fairway. One of them bounces into a pot bunker and one of them bounces straight and they're right, like they could have bounced in the same spot. And so there's a huge element of luck. Maybe I would say there's always an element of luck with links golf and the Open because of the draws and the way the weather can change and the golf course can be affected so much being on that links ground, you know, fully exposed to the elements and whatever. But Royal St. George's in particular is probably, in my opinion, it's the quirkiest of all of the Open rotation. And so you see guys like Ben Curtis, who was 200 and I don't know what he was in the world. And, you know, Darren Clark, same thing, you know, that have won here the last two. But then you get Greg Norman, who was number one in the world when he won back in 1993. And, going all the way back, you've got Harry Barden, the stylist, you know, who won six times at British Open. Two of them were there at Royal St. George's, and Walter Hagen got a pair at Royal St. George's. So Royal St. George's was built to, it was the very first golf course built to be played to host the Open outside of Scotland. So this was supposed to be England's St. Andrews. And let me tell you what, I don't know what they were thinking, but it's nowhere close to, I've never played St. George's. I've watched golf in St. George's. I've had a chance to play St. Andrews. St. Andrews is, it's not even close. I mean, I would play a number of golf courses around the old course, even if I couldn't get on, versus playing there in Sandwich, England. But anyway, nevertheless, what I'm saying, long answer, is I think you could probably get away with the field on this one just because it brings so many different people into play because it's so quirky.
Brian Taylor joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. We do our major pain in the butt where we each pick three golfers. And then the cumulative score determines who's going to be the winner. You want to list off the teams here and see who BT thinks has a chance?
Yeah, so here's the teams. Scotty has John Rahm, Victor Hovland, and Patrick Cantlay. I've got Colin Morikawa, Beefs Lowry, and Louis Oosthuizen.
Wait, what was that second one?
Beefs Lowry.
Beef Lowry?
No, is that his full name is actually Eat More Beef Lowry. It's my favorite. And then Louis Oosthuizen. And Lloyd's got Schauffele, Brooksy, but the real Brooks, and the other Brooksy.
Whoa, so he picked Bryson and Brooks?
Yes, he's got both.
Lloyd's
up to no good. He's up to no good.
All about the entertainment.
He's got the real and fake Brooksy.
You know what? So it'll be interesting to see if Bryson Ball play, you know, how it plays at the Open. As he said, he hasn't brought his length to an Open championship, right? I mean, remember last year, this tournament was canceled due to COVID. It wasn't postponed. It was just flat out. Well, I mean, it was postponed to this year, right? It stayed at Royal St. George's, but it wasn't like the U.S. Open was pushed from June to September and still played. The Masters was pushed from March or April to November, still played. So this one just was canceled for the year and came back around this year. So Bryson went and got all pumped up, and all this stuff has happened since the Open was played in July of 19. And so we'll see how Bryson Ball does over there. He even said, I'm not sure how it's going to work, which I'm not sure how it's going to work either. But it'll be entertaining. I can guarantee it'll be entertaining. I like Brooks a lot. I think, Brooks, just all he does is play well in major championships. Who else did you have, Lloyd? Shoffley?
Yes, Xander Shoffley.
Yeah, that's Bob's pick. Jordan Spieth and Shoffley, I think, is Bob who he went with on our show. And I'm going to go with Scotty. I think John Rahm. I mean, if you get a chance to pick John Rahm and you don't pick John Rahm, you're crazy. I mean, the guy's absolutely on fire right now. He's just nothing but top tens and wins and major championships, and he's just playing some incredibly good golf, and he's in a crazy good mental place. I mean, Hans, I think is, I know you would get into this stuff, but if you go back and listen to some of his comments and the way, I mean, a guy that's been known as a fiery Spaniard, a guy that's a little bit of a loose cannon, lost his mind and is cool during, down the stretch in contention, mm-hmm. Having a baby and the way that shifted his mindset to realize that, hey, you know what, as a professional athlete, I know I'm a role model, quote unquote, but suddenly I got these little pair of eyes that are staring back at me, and that's now I have to be a real role model. And so this kid's going to learn how to, take on life by watching me, and I have to do a better job of setting that example for this little guy. And that whole perspective has just he credits that with vaulting him and enabling him to handle the pressure because it puts everything into perspective. And suddenly he's in this mental space that matches his talent, which is ridiculous, and he's just going out there winning golf tournaments. So I mean, John Rahm is absolutely the favorite. Like, going back to my comment about quirky golf and luck, I don't know that he'll win this week, but he's definitely the favorite this week.
Jeez. All of a sudden I realize BT's a better dad than I am, because I never really thought about that stuff.
Oh, I don't know about that.
BT's better at everything.
Keep him fed, buy some braces, and off you go.
Well,
put some clothes on him.
Something about that green and white, Scotty, versus orange
down.
And black. I don't know.
Stop.
Hey, I'll tell you what, though, John Rahm, that last big stage performance, what do you think, 230-plus foot putts for birdie in the last, three holes to win?
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
That was impressive. You know, it's fun to see guys clutch up. I think that's what we watch sports for, is to see how – human beings will perform in the clutch and do things that just you don't think that is going to be done. And that's what John Rahm did at Torrey Pines. It was just, he willed it into the hole. We've seen great players over the years do that, which is, to me, the exciting thing about golf. And then, he had all the emotions to go with it, the fist pumps and all that. And man, that place, that's just exciting stuff. And it'll be fun to see how this one goes this week. But yeah, John Rahm is an interesting study, because I just wondered if he was going to be able to ever get his mind under control and not be snapping clubs and stuff and trying to hit shots, pull off shots he shouldn't in the clutch and give tournaments away. And he seems to have found that happy place as a dad. So we'll see.
I don't know if you've had a chance to watch a lot of these matches with some of these NFL players and Steph Curry, but who's the guy, if you have, who's been the non-golfer that's impressed you the most?
Well, I mean, Steph is impressive because he hasn't been playing for that long. He's picked it up really, really quickly. I mean, you could go pretty much if you had to. I think if you went starting pitchers versus quarterbacks, I think I would go starting pitchers. John Smoltz is basically a senior tour player now. He'd probably be my first pick. But that whole Braves bullpen, I think could probably beat most of the NFL quarterbacks. But, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of good players that are taking it up. I mean, Darren Williams is super impressive. Mm-hmm. I remember
you know, I've heard some stories recently about him that he's gotten really good. He's playing a bunch up in Park City. And you know, I remember when he was still with the Jazz, when we had our studio at Thanksgiving Point, he'd come out and I got to see him play a little bit. And he was really rough, but he was determined. And he's turned into a really good player. So from a local front standpoint, but yeah, I mean John Smoltz, if I had to take it, that guy's money.
Hey, how does this course fit Phil Mickelson? Can we see him make any noise this weekend?
God, you know what? I mean, do you even talk about Phil Mickelson? And yet he's the reigning PGA Championship winner. I mean, are you kidding me? You know, look, Phil Mickelson has a claret jug. He was in contention with Henrik Stenson another time down the stretch and won the most amazing duels head-to-head in British Opens that I can remember. And so, yeah, I mean, sure, Phil can contend out here. I mean, he's got, you know, I mean, if there's a quirky golfer that, you know, could use a little luck going his way, Phil's that kind of guy. So Phil's resurrected himself. He's found this fountain of youth in some sort of coffee concoction that he drinks every morning and he fasts every other day or whatever he does. And he's just got this new lease on life that includes sunglasses and short shorts. So, I mean, he's 50 whatever and loving life. So yeah, I mean, he's the second greatest player of this generation and he's playing good golf and he's got a lot of confidence and he's freewheeling it. Anything going forward for Phil Mickelson is gravy, where the rest of these guys are still trying to make a mark for their place in the game. And what will history say about, you know, these players and how they do? And Phil Mickelson cemented his legacy in the game of golf. He's absolutely one of the best players of all time. And, you know, so anything he can pile on top now is history and gravy and gives him kind of a unique, a place amongst all the greats. So, yeah, I think he could do something. But, again, Phil's one of those guys where if you were putting some money on him, you just have to know you might strike it big or you might just lose it all real, real quick.
Well, BT, it is time for our UNA Golf Open Championship contest where, again, Lloyd, be calling number 12 right now, 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. And caller number 12 will receive a golfer, and if that golfer wins, they'll win the same putter. Lloyd, do you know who the golfer is today that the guy is going to be assigned?
Justin Thomas.
Justin Thomas. So what do you think?
Yeah, that'd be a good one. I'd be caller 12. I'd get on the phone right now. Justin Thomas is a good one.
All right. It's all brought to you by UNA Golf, serving Utah golfers since 1971. BT, always a pleasure. Thanks for your time.
You're the best, brother.
Home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee, if I'm not mistaken, right?
There, love it. Correct, man.
Hey, also, just let me throw this in real quick. A lot of local fans wondering how Tony's going to do. Doing a little research on him. Look, he's got all top 10s in his last three major starts. And interesting enough, in four British Opens, he went 18th, 27th, and then 9th and 3rd the last time it was played. So, let's not forget, he's not in a premier group. He goes off at 5:53 a.m. tomorrow morning Mountain Time with Billy Horschel and Adam Hadwin. But, I don't think he's playing his best golf right now, but he always gets up for majors, and he's got a pretty decent record there at the British. So, anyway, just wanted to toss that in there.
Oh, that's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah, I hope he can produce, man. It shocks me how little television actually puts Tony Finau out there. I think he's an amazing story.
Yeah,
I wish they'd put him out there more.
No doubt.
That's W, and he'll be out there every time on the television.
That's true.
For sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Brian Taylor, Real Golf Radio. You hear it every Saturday mornings. BT, you're the best, man.
You got it. Thanks, boys.
You got it. Let that little green and white comment slide.
You gritted your teeth for a minute.
Yeah.
What happened? Is that cross-town rivalry?
That's burly colors.
Oh.
Tecla, we go with the orange and black, which I think is – that's Murray, isn't it, too, Lloyd? Orange and black.
Say that again?
Murray High's school colors.
Yes, orange and black.
Same as the Tecla Hornets.
Are they considered, like, the upper crust? Are they the eagle of that part of Idaho?
A little bit, yeah. But not, I mean, in their minds they are, but not really.
But not in reality?
Yeah. You know.
It's sad times when people do
that.
You
think you're Skyline, but you're really not. All right. Hans and Scotty live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4500 South State Street. All right. So a bunch of stuff going on right now. If you've got a used vehicle, you think you owe too much on it, it's not worth anything, you would be wrong. They need their used inventory. They need your car right now. So if you bring that bad boy on by and flip it into one of these new Nissans, like, hey, we've got a Murano in front of us right now, Hans.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Beautiful ride. You could hop into that thing right now, save a ton of money, and put a ton of money towards it via your used car right now. Also, the forever warranty, so you can drive that bad boy as long as you want, put as many miles you want on it, and it'll always be covered. Engine goes out after 200,000 miles, no big deal. It's covered. Transmission goes out. It's covered. And it costs you nothing. It's attached to all new vehicles and about 98% of their used inventory as well. So stop by. Find out what your used car is worth. You'll be shocked. In fact, if you just bought a car about a year ago, that car may have actually, you might actually have, may have appreciated. You might actually have money on that thing.
Well, equity.
So let's go. Come down here. Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, plus a bunch of Jazz gear available for you as well here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK. Bob Casper
at Royal St. George's. Hitting it down the middle of the fairway, you could have two guys that hit it a foot apart from each other. One guy ends up really, really good, and the other guy bounces weird and goes into the rough or will go into a pot bunker or something like that. So it's just a weird golf course. It's got lots of bumps and rolls in the fairway. The greens have lots of weird undulation and bumps and rolls on them also. So you have to hit good shots, but you have to have some luck, too, to win this week at the Open Championship at Royal St. George's.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is what I listen to.
Baby, you got
it. See?
No. No. I'm not going to let you do that. I've listened to what you listen
to. We're having a debate with Justin Jonas because, like, we're all kids of the 80s and a little bit of the 90s.
Yeah.
And Justin's saying where he grew up, you were either a fan of rock or the new wave bull crap, like that aha, Tears for Fears nonsense.
Yeah.
Flock of Seagulls. And never the two mixed. Or you could just... you know, listen to a little rap.
Yeah, which you did. Because I've listened to your music, and it just makes me want to go lift weights.
And get bigger?
Yeah.
Make you bigger.
Wait, no.
Oh, gosh. Some of the music you listen
There's
to.
There's nothing like being an Idaho farm kid and listening to...
if your parents came
Scotty's
across that.
Music makes me uncomfortable.
Boy, you listen to the same stuff. What are you doing?
They were the latter-day Cardi B. Like, they were Cardi B before Cardi B.
Oh, I think Cardi B might flinch a little bit on some of their lyrics.
Yes, I would actually agree with that. Even Cardi B is like, whoa, why would you say that? Because you listen to some hard rap.
I did not either. It was fine.
You know what makes me uncomfortable, actually? Hans' National Geographic collection.
Why is that gotta get better? I like the Nat Geo.
I know, it just makes me uncomfortable.
All right, Lloyd. All right. I saw the poster.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you have any chance. You should be talking here, Lloyd.
Oh,
saw what was hanging in your
okay,
room.
Let's be honest. That poster is calm compared to what's in the Nat Geo.
Well,
don't you do it. Don't you do
it. Oh, whatever, Lloyd. I wasn't allowed to hang porn on my walls.
Yeah.
But apparently Lloyd was.
Porn Dan.
Lloyd's room looked like an auto body shop from 1984.
Like the restroom?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Pretty risky.
Looked like that.
Oh, man. all right, let's get
to
it.
Are we done shredding up each other?
I think so.
Okay.
It's time for another edition of the Top 60 in 60, where we announce the countdown the top players in the state of Utah. Coming down to number one will be the day the college football season kicks off. So today we are at number 37, and this is a big one for their individual team. Let's just say there's a lot riding on this young man, and if he plays well, their team's got a chance to be pretty good. If not, long year. Here's number 37.
This is the Top 60 and 60. As the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2021 college football season.
We're gonna have a good time.
And now, it's time for today's selection. The passing attack of Utah State certainly struggled last season, and the new coaching staff is counting on this transfer quarterback from Arkansas State to help kickstart the Aggie offense in 2021. Checking in at number 37, from Utah State University, 6'1", 230-pound quarterback, Logan Bonner. Utah State University head coach, Blake Anderson.
Logan Bonner is new to the area, but he's a guy I know a lot about. He spent his last 5 years with me. He did not get to go through the spring with a broken bone in his foot, but if you look back to just when he's been on the field in a competitive situation at the Division I level, he has come up big. He's got all the throws, got the power, and loves to compete. He is a great, great addition to our football program.
This is the Top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union and ICON on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Logan Bonner coming in at number 37, and I don't know if there's a team that's relying on the quality play of one individual player more than Utah State is on Logan Bonner. Cooper Laga and Andrew Peasley will be your backups. I'm maybe projecting a little bit. I'm sure they will have a quality competition to kick off camp. But this is, make no mistake, this is going to be Logan Bonner's team if he's healthy, coming off a broken foot. He did not participate in spring, but they need him. They need quality play at the quarterback position. I do not believe Andrew Peasley's quite there yet. I don't think Cooper Laga is quite there yet. I think both of them are certainly capable, including Cooper Laga, who I think has a chance to be really good. I just don't think he's quite there yet with the COVID-shortened season and the inexperience. So they are going to rely on Logan Bonner, and if he stays healthy and he plays the way that he showed flashes of at Arkansas State, then I think that Utah State offense has a chance to get itself going a little bit. If he struggles or if he's not healthy, then I think Utah State has some issues offensively.
A couple of things about Logan's game. He's a broad quarterback. He's not extremely tall, 6'1". I think he's listed at 6'1".
Yeah.
And probably 230, 240 pounds. He is not a dual threat quarterback. He's not a guy that you're going to try to run off the edge or quarterback sneak. He is a pass first and pass only type quarterback. But I think that that's a good thing when you've got a 60% completion rate like he had last year for almost 1,900 yards, Scotty.
Yeah, 18 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. And he was splitting time. It was funny. Lane Hatcher was the other quarterback, and they were going in like almost every other play or every other series.
Wow. So splitting reps and still getting to nearly 1,900 yards and putting up 18 touchdowns. But you know me, man. I'm a big fan of a pass-first and maybe even a pass-only quarterback. When we talk about the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game, I think the top five are a pass-only, pass-first type quarterback. Why? Because they can last. Longevity. You keep them in the pocket. You keep that ball out of their hands. Keep it flying around the field. Get it to the playmakers. And that's how you win football games.
Yes.
You put a quarterback in the direct path of an oncoming linebacker, and now you're going to be looking at Cooper Laga like, hey, Cooper, let's go. You're bringing your next man up because you put him at risk. So maybe Bonner has the chance to stay healthy. Maybe he's got the chance to finish the season. I think that he's going to be familiar with what's asked of him and this coach. And my fingers are crossed. I really want this new coach and Bonner to fit in and to find some success in the Mountain West Conference, which is going to be difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult conference this year.
Went on the road, beat Kansas State last year in Manhattan, was 17 of 28 passing for 2 touchdowns, 204 yards. But as we mentioned, kind of came in and split time with another with another player and had to go back and forth a little bit. But he's certainly a quality player, certainly a quality quality quarterback, and he will be given the reins. And he's got 4 years of experience. I mean, he played a little bit as a freshman, played a lot as a sophomore and as a junior. His junior year got cut short due to an injury. Played, obviously, had a heavy load last year. And so this is his fifth year of college football experience. And so he'll be given plenty of opportunities to take over and try to get some wins there in Logan.
Mid-30s, is that the right number for him?
I think so, right now, yeah. But he's a guy that if he plays well and he plays the way that I think that they hope that he will play, that this is a guy that's probably will be a top 20 player before the season's over.
A lot of that will be dictated upon the front five and what they are able to allot him. This guy's got a lot of experience, so he understands timing and routes and probably has a good pocket presence. He knows the game, and if they can give him just a second to throw the ball, I'm excited to watch this kid. But I would also, if he fails quickly, and we've seen transfers fail, but obviously I don't think Coach Anderson brings him with him from Arkansas State if he believed this kid was any type of problem off the field and wasn't intelligent and a playmaker on the field.
Correct.
But he's a transfer. This is his final year. And if you're stumbling out of the gates the first two or three games and this guy's completions are down and he just doesn't look like he's got it, I wouldn't mind seeing him pull the trigger and get some youth going.
Yeah. By the way, time for Total Recall, brought to you by Angora Solutions. From concept to product launch, Angora can help build a stable revenue stream via your very own Amazon e-commerce platform. Find out now at angora.solutions. As we recap some of the big moments of today's show, here's Mark Medina from USA Today talking about the Jazz, how they address Mike Conley, and what the offseason could look like.
It's an interesting question because I think that he can command, you know, maybe in the $15, $20 million. But there's also concerns about his injuries here. Now, all that being said, I think with how this applies to the Jazz, I don't think they really have any other choice but to re-sign him. And I know that the Jazz are over the luxury tax and all that, but let's just call a spade a spade. It was just bought by a new owner. Like, he's got money. And the reality is if he doesn't come back, like, they don't all of a sudden have a vacancy that they can fill to the same equivalent because they're over the tax. They only have the mid-level. And so I think it's in their interest because they have Conley's bird rights to just re-sign him and then just look at how some of these things play out. Obviously, the most hopeful scenario is that Conley's health isn't an issue and he can, you know, be more available. But I think, you know, the contingency plans could be seeing what they can get in a trade before the deadline next season. And then just also having him for, you know, almost a plan B of, hey, we can at least bank on him being available for some games so he can help us win games, relieve pressure off of Donovan Mitchell, but then see what else can they get with that mid-level or veterans minimum deals of, you know, gain a decent backup point guard to account for the possibility that, you know, Conley's going to be dealing with injuries here. But I think because of Utah's unique circumstances, it's almost a no-brainer that they should retain him and sign him for whatever they can.
This applies to the Jazz, you know, because, you know, obviously that's it's kind of on the heels of this conversation, but I guess this is more of just a question in general. If you're an NBA GM and, you know, Justin Zanuck now taking over the reins here with the Jazz, and you had a great regular season, you're the number one seed, best record in the NBA, but you fall short in the semifinals, and there were some glaring weaknesses that the Jazz had in that series that were on display against the Clippers. How do you walk that line between overcompensating and doing too much because you lost a series, but not doing enough because you're like, well, you know, we had some injuries and it may have been different? I mean, it's kind of a hard line to not be overreactionary and try not to scrap everything and rebuild because you lost one playoff series.
Yeah. I think the thing with the Jazz is I don't think it's hard for them philosophically to know what they need to do. I think it's going to be more challenging to pull off what they need to do given the limited spending tools that they have. So what I mean by that, like, yeah, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert are your guys. Like, you're not going to blow that up. You retain Mike Conley because there's no better alternative. And then it comes down to the challenge of, like, what can you get with a mid-level exception of $5 million? Who can you draft with the number 30 pick? And so while the needs might be fairly obvious, like they could use more wing depth, they have some, you know, backcourt reinforcements to account for a possible Conley injury again, like those options can be fairly limited because when you're looking at number 30 in the draft, you know, Jimmy Butler is really the only anomaly of, hey, this guy turning into this huge, you know, franchise cornerstone. Usually it's role players, and it usually takes a few years for those guys to develop into a role player. And then with the mid-level, you know, I could see someone like Nicholas Batum, you know, falling under that category. But when you're looking at other, you know, reasonable small forwards on the market, you know, guys like Andre Iguodala and Otto Porter Jr., like, I think they're going to be able to get more than $5 million. So that's the challenge where I think the Jazz are facing. That they know what they need to do, but they only have only so many tools to make that work.
There you go. Mark Medina right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Wrap things up. Get you ready for the big show next. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The Top 60 and 60 is back on The Zone Sports Network. Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as The Zone counts you down to the start of the 2021 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah as voted on by the local media. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60, weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union and ICON on your home of the best college football coverage in Utah. 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Ooh, some big news coming out in the world of entertainment. Hey, who got called the Tiger King of Utah yesterday? Who was that?
That was PK. Oh. Jonathan Tavernari called PK.
JT called PK. Is there a reason? Is there something behind that?
I don't know. I don't know if JT, PK ticked him off or I think he was just having some fun there.
Well, anyways, Joe Exotic just caught a break today. He's not going to be let out of prison, but federal appeals court has upheld the conviction for murder for hire, but threw out the 22-year sentence, and they are actually going to resentence the Tiger King. And they are believing that his murder for hire conviction is going to be somewhere more around 15 years for Mr. Exotic.
How much time did he have left on the current sentence?
Looks like he had 20 years left.
All right, shave off a few years. Now, he had like a limo parked outside the prison, and he thought that Trump was going to
exonerate him.
Yeah, was going to give him a pardon.
Yeah, let him walk.
So he had the limo all out there ready to go, thinking Trump's going to let me off the hook. I'm going to go get me some more Netflix money. And off I go.
I actually thought he had a chance.
I thought he had a chance, too.
Well, Trump was asked about it. And Trump's like, well, I'm going to have to look into it.
Man, I just who is he being accused of hiring?
Well, I don't think he actually killed anybody. He tried to kill Carol Baskin.
Oh, he actually tried to kill.
Well, hire somebody to kill her. Am I correct on this, Lloyd?
This is correct. Yes,
but Carol actually killed her husband, and she's on Dancing with the Stars. So, where's the justice in this?
Yeah,
I mean, she hasn't been convicted of it,
but
let's just say there's a tiger who still has a pretty full belly right now.
I can see Bricktop walking in and saying, "What you need is six hungry tigers." You see, one hungry tiger could consume 18 pounds of human meat in just under 5 minutes.
What'd you do that for, Tyrone?
It was a funny ankle. Oh, man. If you haven't watched that movie in a while, it'll make you laugh.
Yeah. Well, that wraps it up for us. Big thanks to everybody down here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4500 South State Street. Remember, the forever warranty on all new vehicles. You can own it for as long as you want, put as many miles as you want on it, and it'll always be covered. Transmission, engine, it goes out, it's covered. And that forever warranty costs you nothing. So I'm telling you, you got to take advantage of it right now. It's all here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray. Plus, bring in your used car. It's worth more than it's been worth since maybe even before the day you drove it off the lot. If you bought that thing less than a year ago and you're not liking it, bring it to buy. It might have actually appreciated. I'm not even kidding. We talked to somebody the other day that bought their car in February, and the car is now worth $5,000 more than they paid for it.
In just a matter of seven months.
About 7 months, yeah.
Jeez Louise. Yeah, people need to understand that their car is worth a lot.
Tim Daly, Nissan in Murray, 4500 South State Street. It's right here on the Zone Sports Network.